the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm the expert host, Grant Alexander. Joining me as always is the expert, Jesse Radfink, and the even more expert, especially at podcasting, Adam Mackey.
He's probably cut this out, but...
I can't now because you brought attention to it, but what the fuck is going on with Zencaster? Every single week now, every time I press, because it used to be I press it, once it stops playing, it stops altogether. And now it keeps repeating everything.
Yeah, it's probably a setting. You should look into it. But this week we wanted to talk a little bit about being an expert or not. Because we are constantly bombarded with people either claiming to be experts at things, or they are experts at things, or even worse, we assume they're experts for some reason. And we want to have a little discussion around that. And since this was Jesse's idea, I'm going to pass it over to her to start it off.
Oh, no. So this is something that I have been thinking about a lot lately. Mostly because of the Ruby Frankie sort of child abuse allegations case that's happening right now. Both Ruby Frankie and her business partner had some real dubious, I am an expert life coach, therapist, transform your lifeist stuff going on, which now I think the state of Idaho might be looking into, trying to tighten up what you can call yourself and like how it gets to that point. But it's also something that we see in making and also in my personal sort of like field, which is health and fitness, just because of my public health degree. I guess I think about it more than most people. And there are always folks who have no qualifications who just show up and they, you know, guarantee they're going to get you results. You're going to be an expert. They're going to teach you all their secrets, that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I'm thinking about how many of these people are con artists and how many of them are genuine a lot lately.
And I think there's a lot of things you can be an expert about. And a lot of the times people claiming to be experts are experts at things that are so like you'd have to work at Google to be an expert in the algorithm, right? Like you're not, there's no one out there who, and I love these channels that have like 10,000 subscribers going, you know, listen to me, I'm an expert at the algorithm, right? And you're like, you're an expert? Well, if you're such an expert, how come you don't have the most subscribers? Like if Mr. B said he's an expert at it, I think that's about one of the only people I'd say, I think he knows what he's talking about, but.
I have seen so many videos pop up recently of, if I started a channel in 2023, this is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how many different channels there are that make videos on being an expert at YouTube.
Yeah.
I said it before, but I think you can't call yourself an expert. Someone has to give you that title. Anyone who self-proclaims to be an expert is not an expert. How can you decide if you're an expert at something?
So, okay, I'll take the devil's advocate position on this one and go, you can become an expert on something because of the amount of education and knowledge you have about it. No one needs to tell you. You get a PhD in something, especially something very niche. I'm going to say you're probably an expert at it.
But I'm going to counter that and say if you got a PhD in something, that is someone telling you you're an expert in it because you've done the hard work and you've got a certificate to prove it. If you just say, I'm an expert at brain surgery, I'm not. I don't have the proof.
Right, but if a PhD doesn't give you – it isn't guaranteed you're an expert at something.
Right.
So
what makes someone an expert then if it's not a PhD? Experience as well?
Yeah, you can be experienced. You can be what is an expert to you guys without me looking up the definition? I'll ask you guys first, Jesse first, then Adam. What is your consideration of what is an expert?
a person in a community that holds a wealth of knowledge.
Okay, so it's just a wealth of knowledge.
To me, it's a person that is the top of knowledge. Hang on, how do I word this?
It's hard.
Yeah. But I feel like it has to be on a certain topic or niche, not just a wealth of knowledge. You need to be on a certain thing.
That's why I said community. So I sort of meant like you have your little wedge that you know all about. Because I didn't really classify that.
I don't think you could be like an expert of DIY or making, but you could be an expert of a category of making.
Right. So you could become like an expert welder. Exactly. Where somebody comes to you and kind of gives you, you are able to teach. Like, I think if you're an expert, you have to have enough knowledge that you can answer any question given to you. And obviously there's times where you're going to be like, well, I'll have to refer to the book, right? Like, I guess you don't need to be an encyclopedia to be an expert, as long as you know where to look to get the answer, right?
Yes.
Because especially when it comes down to like numbers and stuff, like you don't want to be the person like
I feel like you need to know a certain percent.
Sure.
Because like if I get this trainer job, right? And every second question someone asks me I go, oh hang on, let me quickly look it up. And I know where to find the answer. I'm not an expert because I don't know. Like I have to look it up.
Right. I guess it all depends on if you can do it, but you may not be able to answer the question, right? So it's like you know how to – like I was thinking like machining. You can know how to set up a machine to do it, and you know how to figure out the feeds and speeds from whatever material and where to start. But you may not be able to tell someone it's this. This is the number you need. This is the feet per minute you should be doing on this particular tool. But you know that if you had it in front of you, you would know the things to do.
Yeah. And also, so I would consider myself a expert embroiderist because, yeah, I have over a decade of doing it and have made money from it. So I'm like, sure. It's not just like not remembering specifics. It's also a matter of techniques, because think about every hobby. There's normally like different branches of technique that people use to get the desired result. And there's some things that I refuse to touch, will barely touch. Like I would not do an entire embroidery of French knots because that's excruciating. That would take probably 30 hours and I don't want to do that. So yeah, there's just some things that you can say, I don't personally do that, but you should check out this or this or this, and be able to refer someone. I think that is also part of being, you know, an expert or the person that knows everything about it. Because even if you don't personally use it, you've still looked into it, you've been curious about it, or you've like tried it a couple of times.
I understand what you're saying, but in saying that, I feel like you should still know everything you can know about what you can do. Like, yeah, you might not know every technique, but the techniques you do know, you should know everything about them. And I'm going to play devil's advocate to you now, Grant, and that I think that if you can't teach someone how to do it, then you're not an expert.
I agree. You need to be able to teach them. What I'm saying is you may need to look up some stuff in a manual, right? Right. You can be the expert and go, oh, but like, okay, if you think of like Bones, the TV show, she was like an expert at Bones. It's really, and her name was Bones. It was really silly. Anyways, but I'm sure that she would have to look some stuff up to be able to answer questions. And this is where, like, anytime they have an expert in court, they know the questions that are going to be asked. So you know ahead of time what to refer to, like, what to brush up on to ensure you know the answers. Like, what's the velocity of a Glock? And you're like, well, like, nobody needs to know all these different numbers and stuff to be a gun expert. But you would know, like, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe some people do know it. Maybe I'll never be an expert in anything.
Like, yeah, I feel like you would have to.
Well,
like
every single gun?
I feel like you need to, well, if you want to be called an expert, yeah. Like, I feel like, at what point are you not, don't know enough to not be an expert, or do you know enough to be an expert? Because I feel like you should be, like, if someone can ask you a question and you can answer it about anything about a subject, maybe not every gun, but maybe you specialize in pistols, so you know everything about every pistol or every rifle. You know what I mean? Like, you can break everything down even further, but if you don't know everything about a certain category, in a way, then I feel like you're not an expert.
See, I disagree with that. But also, I wanted to say that I am sort of losing what I was saying, and I'm going to try to regain it because my brain is so scattered today. Oh, here we go. I got it. It came back. I think part of being an expert is also having the, like, grace and lack of pride to be able to, or maybe not lack of pride, like not being prideful. Yeah, I don't know what I meant there. And to be able to say, you know, I am not sure, but you can, you know, and still be able to point somebody in the right direction. Because part of what I get so upset about is that people, because they think they're an expert in one thing, they start speaking on a lot of other stuff that, like, they really don't have much say there. And so, I don't know. I think it's important to be able to say, like, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing about expertise has to do with being a reliable source of true and accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's where not answering, you can't be an expert and guess.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I wanted to say, like, if you need to look something up, you need to look it up. You don't have to be able to, I don't know.
But if you pretend to be a know-it-all.
Right. Yes.
That's
because there's nothing. There's nothing worse than people saying that they're, like, a subject matter expert. So at work, I deal with a lot of subject matter experts. They call it, like, they're always like, oh, that's the subject matter expert in this. And I'm like, oftentimes it's just a person in position. And that position.
Yeah.
Needs to be the person who responds to questions about a particular policy. They sometimes have just got there, or they've been there a year. I'm like, you're definitely not an expert at this policy. You have not been there long enough to be an expert. But yes, you are the person who needs to answer regarding whatever policy it is, right? And I think that's one of the things that really gets me going is when people try and call different things experts.
So at our local big box hardware store, I won't say any names, Buttings, they have a wall when you walk in of all the experts in that work at that store. So you can walk up, see all the pictures, it's got their name, and it's what they're an expert in. I can promise you that I have asked the experts a question about something that they're an expert in, and they do not know anything I'm talking about. Like, I'll walk up to the plumbing section and say, hey, do you have this coupler that looks like this? He's like, never heard of that in my life. How the fuck are you an expert?
Because they're an expert of everything that's available in their store.
Because they've been high. No, but they have – that's the thing is they have that part. It's on their website and they've never heard of it. Like, but the thing is they're not an expert. They've been hired to be the expert.
Ah.
They've been assigned that.
They've been assigned that. They know enough of the category. They know the most of that category out of anyone else that works there. So they're the designated expert.
Right.
Oh, retail. Like,
I remember working in retail, and people would often, like, come up to you and talk to you as if you would be knowledgeable about whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then they would, and often what you do is you take whatever it was and then you'd turn it over. And you'd read the back, and then you'd say, that's what it says, right? Like, I don't know. Like, some stuff I do know. Right. And I guess there is a little bit of that, but it is – so I get why they want to ask you, and even if you read the back of it, you can add your other information and relevant experience into whatever it is. Because you work there, you must have some – of whatever. Like, I worked at a hobby shop, so I obviously had a little bit of knowledge about all the different hobbies we sold, and I did some of the hobbies that we sold, so I had some relevant, I don't want to call it expertise, some relevant
knowledge.
Experience, knowledge and experience that could add to an answer. But I was not an authority on anything in that. I don't know. I do think there's a lot of snake oil salesmen who claim to be experts in things to try and make money, because it's a good way. And I guess how, in thinking about those types of people, what are the red flags that go up for you and that clue you in that they may not be an expert in something?
Almost any time I see a post that immediately gives me some sort of like website that I need to go to access all their secret information, that is always the biggest red flag for me, because that is coming back around. I feel like it was really bad in the early 2000s, and it is like it's peaking again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate that. It's just like, if you're so smart and you know everything, why can't you tell me in a 30-second YouTube video? Instead, you've posted an 8-minute long like entrepreneurial wank job, and it's just like, this doesn't tell me anything. This is like, I don't know, successful inspiration porn. That's all like a lot of this stuff is, you know?
Ugh. It reminds me of like the late night commercials for like, buy my book and you'll become rich.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Self-help and financial stuff. That's always the worst.
We all know someone that's read The Barefoot Investor.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be brutally honest and say that I don't think I've ever met someone in my life that I would consider an expert. So I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm an asshole, maybe I'm a dickhead, but you need to prove to me you're an expert. If you just say that you're an expert, I'm not going to believe you. Like all these like TubeBuddy and all that have all these channels of like all the algorithm and all this sort of stuff, I assume you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've watched a few YouTube Buddy videos to get like some ideas, but I'm not going to go exactly off what you say because I don't believe you know what you're talking about, but you have an idea.
Right. Well, okay. I'm with you guys. I think for me, it's the big red flags for me are when people can't explain why they're an expert at something or what makes them an expert. Like they don't have credentials. Like in credentials, I don't mean like a university degree saying it, but like you can explain, like, I've been in this industry for 25 years, right? Which I still hate. Like there's the people who respond to comments, I've been a welder for 30 years. You're doing that wrong. And it's like, well, like why? Like what about it? I've had some very insightful comments that actually explain with like the amount of knowledge that an expert would need. But in today's world, it's really easy to hire, like to engage AI to write something for you that sounds really good, but it like bases it off the internet, and that can be wrong, right?
Yeah, or just straight copying, pasting what you see someone else say. I see that so much on social media. You know, think about like Twitter, which I'm not really on anymore, but there's, to get into politics real quick, there is like a topic on each side that they want to get out every day, you know? And so you'll see the same thing just posted over and over and over again. So it's, yeah, it's like the amount of times it's said means it's more true.
Right. Well, and that even so that there was a long time where people felt like if it was published in a book or, and then early on the internet, published on the internet, that it gave it some cachet, some sort of level of expertise. And I know Bob from I Like to Make Stuff has talked a lot about this, how, you know, a lot of what he's doing is doing it for the first time, and he's not an expert at whatever he's trying to teach or whatever he's showing off. He's showing how he's done it, or, you know, what potential pitfalls you might go, but because it's published on the internet, people expect expertise from him.
Yes.
Right? And I go, no, yeah. I think that we have this like society that we sometimes gives a little bit too much cred to people who publish things, right?
Also, I think because they're like the OGs as well.
Yeah.
So people see them as they've been doing it the longest, they're the bigger channels, they must know what they're talking about.
Right. Well, and that's where at what point is like your popularity doesn't make you an expert at something. And that's what a bigger channel really means most of the time, is how popular you are. Yes. And not
yeah.
how much knowledge you have.
I mean, yeah, I've said multiple times. What's it's not just clickbait, but like I've said multiple times that a lot of the channels I watch because of the personality and not because of what they actually do.
Right.
So I'm not thinking about stuff that we personally subscribe to. I'm thinking about when you Google something and it takes you to a YouTube video that has 43.5 million views or whatever, and it's just completely incorrect, but you have no way of knowing. That is something that I really struggle with recently, is also how do you verify this information? Because there's a lot of stuff out there that, like I said before, is kind of just a copy paste. So someone might read an article and think this would make a really good YouTube video. And it just, you know, and it just keeps like multiplying because everybody copies everybody. That's something else that I've been thinking about a lot, is how do we determine that this is factual when now a lot of our information is digital? And so we don't have those past ways of like, yeah, this is published, it's good.
I think this is a problem that Grant kind of touched on too, is that with that, people see that number and assume that it's correct, or assume that it's expert advice, or this person has millions of subscribers, they must be an expert. You know, people assume that sort of thing, and they, you know, like if I see a video with 50 million views, I'm going to think, oh, it must be pretty accurate.
Yes.
But then I watch it and I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's not. I don't know. Like, I should do my own research. But so many people are just going to take that for granted. I mean, like, it's, and even before YouTube and social media and everything, how many people just relied on the news or the newspaper and went by their word?
Mm-hmm. Right. Or you don't even have to do it about media and that, but you can go like relied on the encyclopedia, right? Yeah. The Encyclopedia Britannica. So one time I didn't get into an argument, but I was like in a discussion about Marvel, and the Encyclopedia Britannica had wrong information on their official website about Tony Stark's suit, which made me wrong. Right. Like, it's like nothing, but I just went like, I use them as the source because I went, they're a legit thing, but they were the only place that said that there was vibranium in Tony Stark's suit, and I could not find anywhere else. And I went, okay, well, I guess Encyclopedia Britannica is wrong. And I lost this argument, but I used that as like, I just defaulted to thinking they were an expert because they're you know, an authoritative source for information, or at least they used to be. Mm-hmm. Take that, Encyclopedia Britannica. But you can get that over anything. Information can be wrong, and experts can be wrong because information changes, right? Like someone who is on an expert on, World War II, and then like all of a sudden all these new letters get released showing how the king at the time or the prince at the time was, real chummy with the German chancellor. It kind of brings into question how much, was history, all these experts, so-called experts, were they right or wrong? But anyways, let's not go down that, like,
yeah, let's area. Not go that way right now. But I remembered when you started talking about that, I remembered what I meant to say earlier, and it just disappeared. I think another part of being an expert is staying up to date and continuing to learn. Right. Like, especially I don't know. There are so many, like doctors, for example, is a big issue. You know, people would graduate at like 35 and then they pass away at 80 and they were a doctor that whole time, but they didn't continue to learn, you know. And I know a lot of like professions have that sort of, you have to have this many points and you have to do conferences or you have to do networking of some sort. You have to do some sort of after graduation learning.
Professional development.
Yes. So it's, you know, it's starting to be built in a little bit, but I do think that is really important, is not just assuming you know everything, because there's always something that you haven't learned about or is brand new or was just discovered. So yeah.
My auntie-in-law is one of, she's like the top manager of sterilization in one of our local hospitals. And she goes to conferences a lot, like to see all like the new tools and all the new stuff and all that sort of stuff. Right. It's then her job to then pass on that knowledge to her teams. But a lot of, like, I know that she does a really good job. I would hate to work for her. She's psycho. But she, and my wife says the same thing, but like she would do it, but there are a lot of people out there that probably wouldn't pass on the correct information or the information to the next people, to their team and everything.
Right. Well, and it's always hard because when we're talking about this, like it's really difficult to know. New information isn't always better, right? And it's like the medical field is filled with times where industry has touted a new expert way of doing things and new expertise, which then turns out to have problems a couple years down the line or 20 years down the line when it turns out that the full extent of what they were doing wasn't understood.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor.
Wait, you even away from doctors, like you have these people that go through university, come out with a degree or college or whatever you want to call it over there. They come out with this degree, they get a job as a manager, and they start trying to tell people how to do their job that have been doing the job for 20 years a certain way. And they go, well, this is how the book says to do it. Yeah, but I've done it this way forever and it works. Why would I change to the way the book says it? You know, like they are considered an expert because they've just got their qualification and know all the new things. But what about the person that's been doing it for 20 years that, like, nothing's changed, really. It's just that the textbooks have changed.
Right. Well, and this is oftentimes, you know, new people coming into a thing think that they are there to breathe new life into a particular thing. And sometimes they are, and sometimes it's needed. And sometimes there's reasons why you don't do things the old way because they're dangerous or whatever. But
well, yeah, of course.
It's always difficult, and that's where, you know, you have to figure out whether or not the person is actually an expert or is just a fresh-faced person trying to show off their skills.
To take it to an example that I actually know about, we have, like, people that will come off the street to be like shift managers at my job, at my work, right? And they're told, all right, this is how it works. They have no experience in being train crew at all. They have no experience about being a driver or a guard, and that they all they know is how it's supposed to be done. Whereas someone like me, who just hit 10 years, has experience of, okay, well, when things don't go right, I know this is going to happen. I've done it 1,000 times. And they don't know, they don't have that experience of, okay, well, this is what's going to happen. You know, like, so I sort of take a bit of charge because I'm trying to help out and try to take the pressure off the people higher up because I know what they're going to need me to do. So I'll just do it. Whereas the manager will turn around and go, hey, you weren't told to do that. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have people that go from train crew up to being a manager and they have that experience of being train crew and they know, okay, well, he's doing that because of this.
Right. Well, and that's where, yeah, I think we're dumbing down expert and just talking about problems with with people just not relying on their thing. Well, okay, at my job, there's this term called an instant expert. So I'm an investigator, and I deal with administrative investigations, and oftentimes it's a different area. Just about every single complaint I get is in a different area with different policies and different things. And I have to be, I often have to become an instant expert on that policy. And what an instant expert in my mind is you just basically, you need to understand what's at stake in this thing right now, right? And you need to have a really good understanding of what's at play. But you don't need to be a subject matter expert. You're never going to be. But you need to have a solid enough foundation so you can answer and ask. You can ask the right questions and answer them. And I think a lot of people use that. They do that same thing. They do a bunch of research and feel like they are becoming an expert of something. And then go and try and share it with a thought that they're an expert, but they're not, right? But they're giving this off because they've done this super fast research, and the amount that they don't know is so vast, right?
Yeah.
But they don't know that they don't know.
It's like I said at the beginning, like you can't. There's a difference between knowing everything and having the experience to go with it. I feel like you can't be an expert if you haven't worked your way up to being an expert. You can't just go through college and come out as an expert in a field. You need to have that experience and work your way up to being an expert. Just because you know everything doesn't mean, like, you can be book smart at something, but if you don't have the hands-on expertise of it, I don't feel like you can be an expert.
Well, it depends on what you're being an expert.
Well, right. Yes.
Like, are you an expert in theoretical physics? That's probably only book smart. Just about to
say, some things it's kind of like, you can only be book smart.
I'm always thinking of like the maker side of everything. Like I can pull this bike apart and put it back together. I know what I'm doing. I'm no expert.
Right.
But after 10 years of doing it, I probably might be consider myself to be an expert, but I'll never consider myself to be an expert because I feel like if you're an expert at something and you call yourself an expert, you're not an expert, because everyone that I know who thinks that they like that they're really good at something always says that they could be better. Right. You know what I mean? Like everyone, we have that sort of like not giving ourselves the praise that we should.
So, I agree. Have you ever heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect?
No.
Okay. Even if you said yes, I was going to explain it anyways, but because the listeners may not have.
The listeners might Dunning, have
that,
yeah.
Yeah. The Dunning-Kruger effect is basically when people gain a little bit of knowledge about something, their confidence goes way up, right? And this is where I was going with this like instant expert thing is you get this little bit of knowledge, so your confidence goes way up. And you become thinking you know so much about it. And you're super confident and you pretend to be authoritative on the subject. As you get more knowledge, your confidence actually goes down dramatically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's happened to me with making where as in the beginning, like I'm making stuff and I can make anything. But as I become more and more knowledgeable about what I'm making, I'm like, oh shit, I'm not doing a very good job at this. So my confidence goes way down. And they call it like the valley of despair. But you can get out of there and you can eventually become an expert in something. But oftentimes the people who are super extra confident, right, they're the ones that are not experts yet. And like you said, Adam, like the level of confidence for someone who is and not an expert is often higher than someone who is the expert, right?
Yeah.
You know, like it always like it reminds me so often. People, like one thing that I always saw is all over the internet said, "Don't use oak for cutting boards. Don't use oak. Don't use oak." Right, and that it seems like a reasonable thing to say, and I understand why people say it, but white oak and red oak are completely different woods.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And white oak is fine for cutting boards, and red oak is horrible for cutting boards, right? Same with, guess what? Do you want to build a ship out of oak? Yeah, lots of people built ships out of oak. They're the ships that cross the ocean were built out of oak. White oak, not red oak, because a red oak ship will just rot and sink. But a white oak ship is like, it'll last forever. So this is like the thing, you can say things with such authority, but you're like, what you actually know is so little that you probably just shouldn't, you should just shut the fuck up. So many people just need to shut the fuck up.
I agree.
There's a podcast I was listening to, and every episode, one of the guys would say something with such authority that people just believed him.
Oh yeah.
He was always bullshitting. That was his thing. I remember what it was.
People do that at work all the time.
As long as you say it with
confidence.
What's the word? Confidence. People will believe anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I listen to the crime and sports podcast sometimes, and one of the hosts will do that. There was a story about a hockey player, and he made a whole sub story involving the hockey player as a child fighting a bear on a frozen pond and all this shit. And he had me going the whole time. And then he admitted, like 30 minutes in, he had made all of that up. And it was just like, oh my God, I am so gullible. Oh no.
But what the thing is, right, it's not gullibleness. It's, and I've heard this so many times, is you have no reason to doubt him.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Like the reason why people believe lies is because there's no reason for them to doubt it being false. Or doubt it being true, sorry.
Yeah, and oftentimes the people who are doing it on purpose add in they know tricks to make you think it sounds good. They'll add in dates, they'll add in like just enough facts to make it sound like it's researched, but not too much because then it can start
you can tell when someone's lying because they give too much detail,
right? But these are like the people who are really good at it, know exactly the right amount of facts to give to make them sound like it's a real thing, right? But I think in the real world, there's not as many experts as we're led to believe. And is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about expertise?
I know some people that are expert at giving us money.
Yeah, I had a really good one, but I guess we're just going to go with that. So I want to thank the Patreon supporters, especially the F-Clamp level, Scott from Daddy Yourself DIY, Joe Herdina, Rich from Lowen Designs, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, Brad from I'm Gonna Make, and Chad from Chad's Custom Creations. If you enjoyed our episode, we'd really appreciate it if you go to patreon.com/clamp. You get access to the pre-show, the after show, as well as a keychain made by yours truly. If you don't want to support through that, you can also support us by picking up some of the merch. If you go to clampcast.com and head over to the merch tab, you can find a link to that. You got t-shirts like the one that I'm wearing now in case you're watching it on YouTube. And we also have t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that. So head on over there. And thank you for all your support.
Clampmendations! Okay, so my clampmendation this week, I decided I'm just going to do Instructables authors for a little bit because I have been judging a lot of contests. We're coming up to the end of year, and so I have just been looking at so much stuff. So I'm just going to call out some people that I really like. So the first one is a author with the username CFB70, and then on Instagram, it's CFB70OK. They have been on the site for quite a while now, and everything that they do is so beautiful and clean and well explained. They also leave a lot of nice comments, so I love that, because it's just so nice when someone actually like posts something and then comes back to interact with that, because it's getting rarer and rarer these days. So I really appreciate them for that. And I especially wanted to call out their Build Your Own Garage Workbench Instructable. I think it might be one of the best documented workbenches on the site. I feel as though they explain it so that even if you had no idea what you were doing, you could get through it okay. So yeah, I think everybody should check them out. They need more followers on Instagram. So yeah. CFB70, okay.
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 I like how they talk about they're an engineer and a hobbyist, not an expert.
Yeah, I, you know, when I think about it, there are not, I cannot think of anyone on Instructables that has called themselves an expert unless they were a spammer and then they say SEO expert. That's, yeah, that's it.
My acclamation this week is I'm bored. I am so sick of YouTube and I want your recommendations because I honestly, I am watching stuff that I watch all the time and I just can't get through any videos anymore. I'm so over it. I'm sick of watching the same thing. So I don't have a recommendation and I want your recommendations.
Oh, I'll have to make a story or a reel for that so we can get a lot of people just shouting things at us because I also am curious.
So I was going to give I'm no expert at this, but he has quit Instagram. So,
oh no.
Maybe I don't have one either. Because the person I thought would be a funny one to shout out gone, doesn't do Instagram for over a year. Maybe I'll shout out our expert leather worker, Ethan Carter.
There we go.
He is always making some fun stuff. He definitely does not claim to be an expert, and but a lot of people, like, it's the same like expert or master or whatever. They throw these words around as if they have no meaning, and yeah, you should check out Ethan. He's always a good follow.
Agreed.
And he's an expert leather worker.
And he always does the right format for videos where he shows you the finished thing and then shows you how to make it. I love it. I have a lot of beef with video.
Well, that's because the experts in the algorithm tell us not to do that because people won't watch.
I fucking
hate it. Don't put the finished project in the thumbnail. You want to have...
Well, and that's why I don't hang out on TikTok because it's like the least amount of context ever available. You know, that's... It's like... It just bothers me. Let's see. So.
Ask us anything. Ask
yeah,
us
there
anything.
We go.
Ask us anything. Ask us anything.
Oh, what the hell? Ask I clicked anything. It.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I think it's playing everything twice.
It is. At least for twice. Sure.
Well, no, because I kept clicking it to stop it, and I think that made it play like twice again.
Oh.
Maybe.
So maybe you uploaded it. And it's a double.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. Okay.
Because yeah, I haven't changed anything since it used to be fine. Because there is a button to make it like play over and over, but I'm not clicking that button.
I don't know. You might need to ask a Zencaster expert, whoever that is, whoever they're paying to have that title.
Or delete it all and re-upload them.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
So anyway, the Ask Us Anything question is from Warren Matten. Refurbish or build from scratch? I can say personally, refurbish. I love thrifting. Almost all of my furniture is secondhand because I can guarantee somebody could do it better than me and I can just sort of spruce it up again. So I love refurbishing.
This is actually why I changed what I'm doing because I keep saying I don't like building things from scratch. I like to modify things. I would much rather get a bookcase and modify it to be what I need rather than build a bookcase from scratch. So refurbish for me.
Well, I'll have to say I'd rather build from scratch. I got a lot of refurbished stuff and there's definitely like something fun about that, and I like modifying things as well, but I think that's a little bit different than refurbishing. excuse me. But yeah, I like building from scratch. I like to have like something that comes from my mind into reality.
Is there a point where building from scratch is too much? I.e., I don't think you'd want to build your bowler from scratch, would you?
Oh, I totally would love to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be really cool building my own little trailer. Yeah. But I don't have time. Like, it's always a – so why would I refurbish or build from scratch? If I'm going to refurbish something, it'll probably be quicker most of the time, depends on it'll probably be quicker than building from scratch. That's why you refurbish, because you have a starting point. But – or you have something like – if you think about like an old hand plane. Well, I don't even know where to start to build a hand plane from scratch, right? Mm-hmm.
Fair.
So then I would want to refurbish it. But if I'm building like a desk, I want to build a desk from scratch. I want, you know, I have a dresser that was my dresser growing up. So I refurbished it for my son. And same with the bookshelf. It was my wife's bookshelf from when she was a little one. So we refurbished it. So refurbishing makes sense when there's a reason or a emotional attachment, where you need a starting point, or when you don't have time to build from scratch. I think building from scratch for me is more rewarding, but it definitely takes more time, and it also often has an inferior product. But
that's what I'm always worried about. It's like, yeah, I would rather buy something from like the 50s or 60s that I know was like glued and nailed the fuck together. Like, it's never going to fall apart. Because, I mean, the dresser that we have right now is from the 1950s, and it's done two cross-country moves and been in like five different apartments. And before I had it, I think my mom's friend Paula was the person that gave it to me. Like, I don't know. I love stuff that you don't have to put a lot of effort in, because it's always been, I haven't had all of the tools that I wanted, and time has always been short. So it's like, well, let's take a shortcut.
Cool. Well, I want to thank TF Turning for the theme song. If you want to find us, you can search us on Instagram, Facebook, and all the other fun places by searching for Clampcast. Or go to clampcast.com. You can find all of the socials there. If you'd like, we'd really appreciate it if you guys could give us reviews. Apparently, if you go to Apple or something and you type in our stuff, you can make a regular review on the tunes, on the eTunes, the iTunes, whatever it is. Yeah, so I appreciate that. And we'll see y'all in the after show.
I have some news. Bye.